Livvy Lauren, welcome to the Hit List podcast. Thank you so much for coming down and chatting to us. How's things?
Thank you for having me. Really good. Just got off a flight from Miami.
Fresh off a flight.
Slightly jet lagged, but I can't complain because I've been in the sunshine.
Oh, don't rub it in. I mean, it is hot here, sort of, but I'd imagine nowhere near Miami hot, right?
Yeah, the sun's out, but it's still nippy, isn't it?
That's the way I think I'd describe it. Sun's out, bit nippy.
Yeah.
You are a Canterbury, Kent girl.
I am. Born and raised in Canterbury.
Born and raised in Canterbury. I'm still exploring Kent. So just so we can double fact check, you're from Canterbury. Best place of food in Canterbury?
Oh, I don't know, because they've opened up some new ones. Maybe the Corner House.
Okay.
It's a bit rogue, but it's good. It's new. Banging food.
Banging?
Yeah.
Top meal? What was it?
What have I had there? They change it every week.
Fancy.
But I've had steak there, which was really, really good. So 10 out of 10 recommend.
And then best night out?
Oh, I don't hit the clubs anymore, you know, I'm too old for that stuff. But
neither do I. So I'm talking more like pubs and bars.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's so many pubs. So you can't, like, the Shakespeare, good pub.
That's a fancy name.
Yeah,
that's
very nice.
Okay.
Very old school, you know, Canterbury. And I like a bit of socialite. It's a rooftop bar in Canterbury. It's giving bougie.
Rooftop bars are an absolute win, especially, you know, it's getting a little bit, I mean, breezy but nippy, but the sun is out.
I'm not up there yet. Give me a couple more months and I'll be there.
I've got a quote from you about your brand new song, which I want to talk about first. And I'm hoping this is from you. Otherwise, this is going to be a bit rogue. It says, "The track is about wanting someone who destroys you, taking the fall for things you never did, and feeling trapped in their hypnotic pool." This is about your brand new track, which is amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
I know you're a songwriter, and I know you can do everything from dance to pop to slow ballads.
Yeah.
I know you love lyrics. Hearing this track, I'm intrigued to know, like, what's behind it? What's actually fueling it?
Do you know what makes me laugh? Because I'm such a, like, an energetic, like, outgoing, crazy person. I'm like, I'm always on a high and I always try to be, like, positive in life. But obviously with that comes, like, you do get, like, the major lows for me. It's either, like, always up there and then, like, the dips are pretty big. And when I hear, like, myself, like, when I'm in those moments and I'm talking about, like, the deep lyrics and stuff, like, even you saying that quote back, I'm like, God, I really do get deep sometimes.
I was looking at it.
I'm like, go on, girl.
Get in your feels, you got to. Writing songs.
Get that. But, the song is technically about just being with someone in a relationship, whether it's, you know, family, friends, partner, like anything really that has a kind of narcissistic trait. And that kind of toxic energy where you almost, like, want them more. So you just end up remaining in this cycle where they're treating you badly, but because they treat you badly, it's like, I really want you more. And it's this, like, hypnotic thing where they can just manipulate your mind, change your way of thinking. And it's just, just toxic energy. So that's the song's kind of about that. And the pre-chorus obviously talks about just needing time to breathe and step away from it. And when you feel like you've finally taken that step and gone, okay, just breathe, you then just absolutely lose it, which is over the chorus, like, losing it again, just bopping off, basically going mad, and then again, straight into that cycle of pain and torture and, like, the things that you're going through in the relationship mentally. That's what the song's about, really, which is quite deep, but I try to kind of bring it so it sounds a bit more uplifting and is a bit of a headbanger for people in the car in summer.
Yeah, why didn't you want to write it slowly? Because I was listening to one of your slower pop ballads. It was a collab that you did, I think, a couple of years ago. It was amazing, by the way. Really great. And I was listening to that and then, almost like in complete contrast, put on Losing It Again. And I was like, oh my God, she can do both.
Yeah. So,
but they're both just as deep.
Yeah, I think I'm a very deep person, especially after a few glasses of wine.
Absolutely.
My friends are like, calm down, mate. But yeah, so another sad song was, predominantly I love writing ballads and I love writing for other artists, and I find it really easy to dig deep and delve into sort of, you know, deeper lyrics and the more ballady type music. But predominantly, like, my energy and personality just matches dance pop a lot more. So when I was sort of thinking about my career and how I wanted to, how I saw my path and my journey, ultimately I just want to be on a stage, like dancing around and like living my best life with everyone. But that also doesn't mean I'm going to lie through my lyrics and pretend everything's okay. So for me, it's about finding that balance of being real and truthful about stuff that goes on in life in the lyrics, but at the same time, like uplifting people and allowing people to move and just let go of themselves at the same time. I don't know, it's really hard to do. You know, write deep lyrics, but make it, you know, happy and fun. And
but do you know what? You did it so, so well. And I always think when you write and you write lightheartedly, you can't really connect to that. Like, I was listening to this track and I was like, she's a person.
Yeah.
She's not just trying to write a song to make me dance and make me happy. Like, if you were doing this on stage, you'd be having a good time, almost singing and smiling through the rain of it all.
Yeah.
Because there comes a point where you've kind of got to do that. Otherwise, you're always going to be sad about it, I guess.
We stripped it like back so much in the studio, like especially for the pre-chorus. And that's why I tried to go for more of liquid drum and bass, because I feel like you can be more emotive. You can be more real as a person, like you just said. And people do connect with that a lot more. And that's all I want, really. I want people to also resonate with me, but also be like, yeah, she makes me feel good and makes me feel better about a bad situation. So when we were writing the track, it was just like, I think we spent 2 hours with the other writers in there just talking about how it makes you feel and different things that happen and stories about our lives. And honestly, like one of the girls in there, I literally just met that day, and suddenly she knew about my entire life story and the things I'd been through.
Wow.
And then you just take snippets of that and you're like, oh, that's a really cool word that you've just said there. Like, that's how it made you feel. And you ask each other certain questions that really bring out that, like, kind of, I don't know, the deepness of the lyrics. So that's kind of how we formed it. But at the same time, you also want energy. You also want to create that dance banger. So it's like, okay, how can we bring this back up? Which is why obviously the chorus just pops off.
Comes straight in. It comes in really, really hard. I heard that you like to just sing random stuff over melodies to make the final lyrics.
Yes.
Was there a lot of that in this?
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to my voice notes on my phone, you'd like literally, you'd be giggling so much, because the stuff I say on there is honestly half of it you can't use.
Can you give us a little bit of like what we would expect from like,
I don't know, it would literally be like, I don't know, we get the chords down. How I work is like, you get the chords down, I'll come in with a vibe, I'll be honest on that day, I'll be like, right, I'm feeling really good, I've had a really good day, like let's write this kind of music. Or guys, like at the moment, I feel so deflated. Like, can we, you know, work with this sort of vibe? I always am honest when I go into studio. How I feel is what I write. So we'll get the chords down, get the right sound that we like in the chords. And then I just literally start singing absolutely anything over the top. And half the time, none of it makes sense. And then I'll pick out one word and go, oh, that's a really nice word. Or that melody works really, really well. It could literally be like anything, like chilling in the sunshine. And then you're like, oh, that sounds cool. How can we like write how I'm feeling with that melody? And it's literally like just that. And half of it, like I just sang there, just doesn't work. And then that quite catchy. And you're like, that's cool. And that's literally just how I do it, to be honest with you.
It's like Lego nothing blocks, deeper isn't it? Than that. Do you know that's how Chris Martin wrote Yellow?
Oh, really?
Fun fact. Yeah, I was watching the Coldplay documentary the other day, and he said that he felt a load of pressure to write a song, and he went outside because apparently the stars looked nice, and he just started singing the the stars, all stars. Yeah. And then the first line came, and then Yellow was created. So there you are.
Yeah.
Something in common with Chris Martin there.
Do you know what? I like it, like when you, every writer, every artist does it different ways, but I think you do need to like predominantly connect yourself with people that write in a similar way to you, because otherwise a lot of people see it as like such, you know, strategy and start with this and then we add this and let's really like write poetry first. And then, and do you know what? It works, you know, for different people. But for me, like that's just not real, because it's so overthought. I'm just like, you are making art, but yeah, you're overthinking it. It's like, how do you resonate with that? You know, I'm not going to sing Shakespeare. Do you know what I mean? And that's sometimes how it feels, because if you listen to someone and they're not using, you know, day-to-day lingo and stuff like that, you're like, well, that's not real. That's clearly overthought. And I'd never say that sentence in person. So for me, it's how do I say stuff in my lyrics that I genuinely would say out loud? And that's why I just talk and I just babble and I just sing.
Just babble.
I just babble
the
away.
Word babble away.
There we go. We've got a song title there. Babbling.
Just babbling.
Yeah.
Because I think as well, that's what I find weird about some of these artists that now work 9 to 5, which is ridiculous in what I think an artist does. If you say, I'm going to start at 9 a.m., I'll finish at 5. Because are you almost restricting those hours of creativity? Like artists work through the night. Do you find like you find more creativity when you're just out and about? Or do you think sitting in a studio itself is actually quite restrictive?
Yeah, a bit of both. So technically where I earn the most money, I suppose, at the moment, is I write vocals for DJs to use, and I sell my vocals to them. So I write the top lines, the melodies, the female vocals, record it, sell it.
Oh, wow.
And I do that from home. So I've got my little studio at home, and I'm in my own space there. I'm so comfortable. I can be, you know, as adventurous with the lyrics and melodies as much as possible. I can write stuff that I'd never use. I would never want to go out as Livy Lauren, but I write it and I'm like, that's really cool and creative, and someone else will want that. So I like having my own space in that sense. But when it's for me, I do think the best work comes when you collaborate with other writers and other, you know, artists and things like that. So going into the studio is the best way to do that, because you're, you know, all in the same space.
Mm.
But I don't start work in terms of writing until at least gone midday.
Really?
Because I'm not a morning person. So there's really no point, as soon as I wake up, trying to be creative, because my brain's been dead throughout the night. Like, you can't just wake it up and be creative. Maybe if you're doing a 9-to-5 normal office job where you just sit down and, you know, it's facts and figures. But with creativity, you need like that space in the morning to just, like, I don't know, get used to life again.
Yeah. Actually, wake up.
I don't start work until midday at least. And most of the time I've had, you know, sessions start at Abbey Road. I've gone there and I think I was working on my last single, Felt Love, in Abbey Road. And I got there at, I think it was 9 p.m. And then I worked till like 1 a.m.
Wow.
Just finishing some stuff off, because the guy as well that was like producing it was like, yeah, my brain doesn't work till like 9 p.m.
So what songs would we not know your voice is on right now?
Maybe Felt Love. I don't know. It was played quite a lot. It was actually featured on Love Island.
I was going to say, I have a clip.
Yeah.
I have a clip, which
a good one.
There's a lot of people that won't know this, but there was a moment, you and your mum.
Oh, yeah.
In your lounge.
Yeah.
You were watching Love Island.
Yes.
Potentially intentionally, because I think
had seen it at this point, but
right.
My friend had told me, so I wasn't even watching it when it came out. My friend actually called me and was like, I swear this is your song. And
so
it wasn't even released
know.
At that point. They didn't tell me.
What?
No, my manager sent it to the Love Island team, and basically just for feedback. You know, I'm a new up-and-coming artist. I didn't expect anything to come from it. And then the only person I'd showed this song to, again, it wasn't released, was my best friend. My best friend happened to be watching it at the time. She was like, called me and was like, I swear this is your song. Started playing it. I was like, oh my God. Yes, my song's on Love Island. On the phone to the record label. I'm not joking. I spent all night trying to get that single out in 24 hours. We made it happen, but it's like unheard of. It was an intense night, but one of the most insane feelings in the world. So, yeah. So, and then I showed my mum, and she's just like my biggest fan, that woman. Honestly, she's so emotional, which is why I love her. She's so proud of me. But yeah, I was like, I have to get this on, cam, because I knew she'd be like an emotional mess and so excited for me.
Well, I've got the moment here just for anyone listening right now who's like, what happened? This is the moment that your mum really kind of realised, because it took her a while.
Yeah.
She was like, this sounds like you.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like clicked.
Yes.
Sounds like you.
It is me.
It's
you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's brilliant.
Oh my God.
It's so
good.
Listen to
yeah, my song played on Love Island.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God,
Liv,
no.
It looked like she was about to cry in
she
the video.
Did. Like. Literally, like when the video like had stopped, and I like probably, because that's the thing as well, when you're an artist, you're trying to like capture the moment of everything, and then at that point, I was like, put the phone down, put the video down. Like, I just literally embraced her, and she just cried her eyes out. She was like, how does this happen? Like, how do you, like, how many people watch Love Island? How many people are seeing this? And it was honestly, like, one of the best moments in my career so far.
Mm. So that was, like, was that 6 years ago?
No, that was last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, that
video date is completely incorrect. It's done me. Actually, to be fair, I have stalked you the entire day. So potentially I've watched a load of videos and got all my dates mixed up. So that was last year.
That was last summer. Yeah, so it was when Joey Essex, Joey Essex, that's it.
Was in there.
Got Joel Corey in my brain because of dance music. Joey Essex, yeah, that was the time that he was in there.
So everyone was watching it.
Yeah.
That was one of the most watched series of them all.
It was massive. And also they played my song for longer than my song goes on for. So it was insane. It was literally it was like the Casa Amor moment, which everyone wants to watch anyway. So it was probably like one of the most streamed episodes that you could watch on there.
Yeah.
And yeah, they played something like, I think in total it was nearly 4 minutes where I said the song. So they just kept chopping and going back to it. And it was like, they were like splashing in the pool and it was just, it was so good.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, great bit of exposure.
Did anything, or have you noticed anything happen or change in your day-to-day life from that moment? Was it like a proper exceller? Because you never quite know with these kind of things if people realise that it's you or if something happens afterwards.
Yeah. So I think two things, like obviously on TikTok, that video blew up. And then people like started following me a lot more. So now they see a lot of more of my stuff and they actually follow my music. So in terms of fan engagement and getting new fans and people just hearing my name, that was amazing for me. But the problem was where the song wasn't released. Obviously, if people were watching that episode live and they were Shazamming the song, they couldn't find it anywhere. So yeah, that was probably like part of it that was a bit frustrating.
Yeah.
Unless people watched it on catch up, I would say like they just couldn't find the song. So yeah, it didn't really do me any favors in that sense. But again, it's just, I'm just always say this, I'm so grateful for things like that because they're real pinch me moments. And they are times where you think, okay, it's not just my mum that's proud of me or my friends that love my music. Like other people really enjoy my music. And as an artist, you get inside your head a lot and you think, oh, like, am I actually good? Or is that just mum and dad telling me I'm good? Or my friends like going, keep going. And when you have moments like that, it's a real reminder, like keep going. Cause you know, there are millions of people listening to this song now because of that. So yeah, I was, super lucky for that.
Have you
situation.
Checked the video count on it now?
No, I haven't actually. I haven't looked in like over a week. Is this on
over
YouTube?
A week? Okay. On TikTok?
TikTok.
Should we have a little look?
What, for, the Felt
for
Love?
For your video on TikTok of you and your mum.
3 million.
Should we have a look? Livy Lauren. You're going with 3 million.
I'm going with 3 million. I think that was, but I've posted the video again and that's got another 2 million. So I guess
the total's probably a little
bit.
So
I guess so the one that you've pinned.
Yes.
Still 3.3 million.
3.3 million.
So you posted it again?
Yeah, and I think that got a couple of million.
So you've got about 5 million.
Yeah, I've watched that video alone. I think my mum's just made it viral, not the song. Thanks, mum.
Just your mum in bed, just watching the same video. I
know. My mum's like, oh my God. She was like, over the population of Kent and England, the UK, or not the UK, but what is it? Like our county, Kent.
Kent.
Yeah, over that is like, watch this video, basically, when you look at the stats. And she was like, oh my God. She's not on social media or things like that. So the thought of her face doing that in front of so many people. She's like traumatized for life.
Oh, what an absolute moment that is.
Yeah.
So, so big. What's the next moment in your brain that you're trying to chase?
Well, I actually did with another sad song, the ballad you were speaking about. I was actually on the Will Young tour for that. So that was really, really cool. And I think in the future, I'd like to do some more, start warm up acts. What's it called?
Support acts.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to do some more support act stuff, especially for the more of the dance music, because it was amazing. I got to come out on stage, you know, and sing a ballad, which is where I can really show off my vocals.
Absolutely.
And get into it. And it was such a surreal feeling being able to do that. But again, I didn't feel like it was really me. Like, I wanted to run on stage every time and I was like, Liv, compose yourself because you're about to sing a ballad. And they can't come on and be like, hey guys, how you doing? You know, and then like get into the roots of the song. So
you've got to come on with like your inner Adele.
Yeah,
you've got to kind of grace the stage rather than run across it.
Literally.
Like
so.
Nice ball. What, did you wear like a nice ball gown or?
No.
That's not really your vibe,
no,
is it?
Ball gowns. I'm a bit of a princess in life. My partner would say that. But in terms of like how I look, I'm very like rough and ready. Let's go.
Jeans.
Yeah, cool vibes. Yeah. Jeans, baggy top, that sort of thing. So no, I did try and make myself a bit more glam. I did have to think every time because all my outfits don't suit singing a ballad. So I really had to work hard on creating something that looked a bit more like sleek and sophisticated.
Going shopping?
Yes.
Had to work hard going to Blue Water.
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to lie.
Gracing the shops.
Yeah, and also not clashing with Maddox on stage because he just comes out and he's such a chill guy. He literally comes out in whatever. But I wear like quite bold colours. I remember one day I come out in this like full green outfit and I looked at him, I was like, we're going to clash on stage. So he went to Primark and literally bought like another t-shirt right beforehand. And he was like, is this shade of grey or green okay? And I was like, yeah, that'd be fine.
Did you not give him the option for you to change?
Absolutely not.
No?
No, absolutely not. And he knows that and he absolutely loves that about me. Is I'm like, if this is how I'm feeling, I've got this outfit now, you know.
This is happening. You need to make it work.
And he's like, yeah, cool, Liv. Like, let's just keep you happy, babes.
So the last thing that I feel like you know, as a brand new artist,
yes,
as somebody that we love loads here on the Hit List, it's good to try and dive into your personal world, your personal, yes, thoughts and personal views. And I have realised that you used to love Twitter quite a lot.
Oh, God, did I? Because I don't use it anymore.
No, you don't. You've disappeared on the 24th of the 11th, which is a couple of days before my birthday, yeah, in 2020. You, like, you vanished from Twitter. So we've almost had four in a bit years with no Livy Lauren on Twitter. You did 3.1 thousand tweets.
Did I?
3.1, yeah.
That's just when I was younger, and honestly, I dread to think what I put on that.
Well, I've got a few of them, and I just want, I want you to explain potentially the thought behind this version of Livy Lauren back in 2019. So it was about like 6 years ago.
Yeah, I was a little child. I was 20 then, but I don't even think I probably posted that much at that point. I think I mainly was posting when I was at like secondary school.
Well, there was quite a few to go through.
Okay, let's go.
So, I mean, the first one, I think this is quite an obvious one. You tweeted, "I fancy Lewis Capaldi's voice so bad?" Question mark.
Why the question
mark? I'm not too sure of the question mark. This was on the 5th of the 4th, 2019.
So, imagine if Lewis Capaldi is listening to this.
Imagine if he goes back on Twitter and has a little retweet of
that. That would be great.
And this was about someone you loved, era. So I'm going to guess Lewis Capaldi fan.
Yeah, massively. Everything about him. Again, he's such a real artist. He is who he is, and I love that about him. But yeah, he has got a sexy voice, hasn't he?
He has got a sexy voice.
I can't lie. So I totally relate to that younger Liv.
She was right, because I also fancy Liv's Capaldi's voice.
It's the question mark at the end, though. Why like, did I don't, I put that?
I think it's almost like you're teasing him.
Do I?
I think I don't. Maybe I do. I think I fancy him in general, though. I mean, you're not just fancying him.
He would just make me laugh so much.
That's
like,
what I'm
talking
about.
If he took me out on a date, you know you'd be like, he's a keeper, because he's so funny.
I can't believe his other girlfriend went back on Love Island.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because she went back, didn't she, in like 2022 or something. She was like, I've had enough of your fame. I'm going to go and...
Lewis, I'm here.
I'm joking, available. You've got a wedding.
But Lewis, if you want to join, you can be a three-way, I'm sure.
He will give you a bigger castle, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably.
And you might be able to keep it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very true.
Is there a track of Lewis Capaldi's you think you would like to sing or would ever sing if you were going to go back on tour? And be it even a support act stage show? Would you put it in your opener?
I don't know. I love all of them, but again, they're more slower ballads.
Mm.
So I don't think it would suit who I am right now.
Yeah.
But obviously, if he said to me, Liv, you want to collaborate, I wouldn't say no.
I will come down to your tempo if we can get a track out.
Exactly.
You might be going viral.
Yeah.
And I will accept a date from Lewis Capaldi. Yeah. 100%.
Fine, okay.
Next tweet.
Okay, God.
From the 31st of August 2019. You were very active in 2019 on Twitter. There's lots of tweets.
What was going on in my life?
You tweeted, wow, being ill has really worked a wonder for my diet. Three chocolate bars and a bottle of red later. And that was it.
Was there a photo with it?
No, there was no photo. So don't worry.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just picturing me there like, oh God, drowning my sorrows.
Is that your normal remedy for being ill? Three chocolate bars and a bottle of red? Is that?
I would say a bottle of red is my remedy for most things in life. But I'm actually, obviously, because I'm getting married, I'm actually on like a bit of a plan at the moment.
I think you were as well then,
yeah,
but
it
still creeped in.
It's a different type of plan. But yeah, when I'm ill, I crave the sweet stuff. I can't help it. So yeah, that I can still relate. Again, I still relate.
Still relate,
to you,
Liv. Still 6 years later.
What a
still
tweet.
Doing it. So you're on another fitness plan.
Yes, but it's definitely not chocolate. It's high protein.
Is it?
Go to the gym all the time. So yeah, if my trainers are listening to this, they're going to be like, "Well done, Liv.
You've made progress.
Yeah, you've made progress. You've moved on.
How long have we got between now and the date you've got to be ready by?
I've got 2 more months, so it's quite a long-term one, because I gave myself 5 months.
To get in the dress?
Yeah, I just want to get in shape and feel amazing. So yeah, I love the gym anyway, because I'm just so energetic, I have to like burn off energy. But this one is definitely like a lot more intense. Although I have just had a week off in Miami. They did allow that, because obviously the amount of alcohol I was drinking, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to stick to this. And I wouldn't want to either, because, you know, I'm in Miami.
You're in Miami, you're having good fun. You're at a music thing. You've got to have fun.
Living my best life.
So are you also doing that thing where you buy the dress a size small, sizes smaller to then fit in it?
No, I've had a disaster. So, got my dress, designer dress, coming from Australia.
Wow,
and
fancy.
Yeah, very excited, but you have to order it a year in advance.
Shut up. What? Yeah,
because they make it from scratch, essentially. And I can't give too much away, because if my partner listens to this, he'll be like, oh, that's what your dress is like. But, but basically, where I'm quite a curvy girl, my glutes are bigger, and like I've got a tiny waist, which I'm lucky for. But where I first tried the like sample dress on, they took my measurements from that size, because they literally say you have to go from the size that you are at the time, and then they can bring it in.
Right.
But I've lost two dress sizes in that time, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
And so they need to take, basically when my dress arrives, because it's already been made now, I haven't got a choice, they need to take 12 and a half centimetres of fabric off my waist. It's not going to look like the same dress. I literally like laugh cried. I was like, that's look better, but it's not going to fit me.
Yeah, that's amazing. And yeah. Also a disaster.
Mm-hmm. The girl in the dress shop was like, don't lose your booty anymore. I was like, okay, I'll try.
So maybe ease off the diet and go back to the chocolate bars and the bottle.
Yeah. Well, the aim is, I think, as well, going to the gym. Like, hopefully you're growing, building muscle anyway, so... Yeah, I'm not going to think about it.
Well, fingers crossed, you've got 2 months to fix it.
Yeah, thank you.
And in that 2 months, is there any brand new music coming out that we can expect from you?
Mm. Well, I haven't got release dates yet.
Okay.
But I've actually just signed a single with Perfect Havoc, which are massive dance label, like Joel Corey's label. And
oh, wow.
Some huge, you know, they've had some huge hits. So that's a really, you know, big one for me. And that's a real like dancey summer beach club vibe collaboration with Love Foundation and Rough Loaders. They're really, really cool guys. And so, yeah, that might be coming out in summer, maybe.
In
not.
Summer?
Yeah, in summer. I haven't got a date yet. We're trying to work it out, because obviously I've just had my release, so I've got to give Losing It Again the love that it deserves.
Absolutely, but, and it deserves that love.
Yes, but I reckon there'll be quite a few songs coming out with Liv Lauren on this summer, so yeah, keep your ears eyes peeled.
When does your summer start? Because mine as a ginger is now.
You got the Factor 50 on.
Yeah, this is horrible for me. So actually, are we talking any time now, or are we thinking...
No, this is too
much,
cold.
How much love do we need to get to give Losing It Again before we can even start to suspect? One more month.
Give me another month. Give me 4 more weeks of giving Losing It Again the love, and then, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Can't say too much.
Okay. And who's singing at your wedding?
Oh, I've actually got some great people. So I've gone all out on the music. So I've got 3 people singing me down the aisle. So I've got Tess. I know, here we go. I've got Tess Burstock. She's like basically toured with every major artist as a support artist for them. Like a backing vocalist.
Oh, amazing. And they're always like ridiculously good.
Yes. I've got Jamie Johnson from The Voice.
Wow.
And I've got Grace again, who's like toured with every massive artist, again doing the same sort of thing. They're walking me down the aisle. I've got a sax guy for the drinks reception.
So
I've got
in
a 5-piece dinner band, and then I've got an 8-piece band in the evening. John was like, oh, and I was like, the budget has to go on music.
You're gonna need a castle to fit all the bands in.
Oh wait, hang on a second.
Well, have an amazing wedding if we don't see you before.
Thank you.
And enjoy the dress disaster.
Yep. That's adulting, isn't it?
It is adulting. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.